Kripam makara kundala mandanarha. Gandhasa lona samukham mani matkiritam. Dordanda sanda bibare hadatha paradya. Harena khanda rakate na chakho subhena.
His countenance was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his alligator-shaped pendants, which outshone lightning. His nose was prominent, and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown. A charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned with a gem known by the name Kaustubha.
Atro prahishvishtam iti kosmitapi indriyata svanam diya vicharitam bahusosthavajam mahayam bhavasya bhavatam sabhajantam angam nemo nirikshana vitripta drishamudhakai.
The exquisite beauty of Narayan, been many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees, was so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful. My dear demigods, the Lord who thus manifested himself as worshipable by me, by Lord Shiva, and by all of you, the sages regarded him with unsated eyes and joyously bowed their heads at his lotus feet. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The beauty of the Lord was so enchanting that it could not be sufficiently described. The goddess of fortune is supposed to be the most beautiful sight within the spiritual and material creations of the Lord. She has a sense of being the most beautiful. But her beauty was defeated when the Lord appeared. In other words, the beauty of the goddess of fortune is secondary in the presence of the Lord. In the words of Vaishnava poets, it is said that the Lord's beauty is so enchanting that it defeats hundreds and thousands of cupids. He is therefore called Madan Mohan. It is also described that the Lord sometimes becomes mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets describe that under those circumstances, although Lord Krishna is Madan Mohan, he becomes Madan Daha, or enchanted by the beauty of Radharani. Actually, the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. The devotees of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets want to see the Lord as the most beautiful. But the devotees in Gokul or Krishna Loka want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. The adjustment is that the Lord, being Bhaktivatsal, or one who wants to please his devotees, assumes such features so that devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods may be pleased. Here also the devotee sages, the Kumaras. Here also for the devotee sages, the Kumaras, the Lord appeared in his most beautiful feature. and they continued to see him without satiation and wanted to continue seeing him more and more. In the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all apparent circumstances become all auspicious by the sweet will of the Lord. Because wherever devotional service is being performed with sincere emotion for the pleasure of Krishna, then Krishna personally presides in that particular environment. With our material senses, it is very difficult to perceive the reality of what is happening when we are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Here we find a apparently very inauspicious situation. There are four great Vaishnavas gathered together at the gateway of Vaikuntha. Six great Vaishnavas, the four Kumaras, Jai and Vijay. Due to a mistake, Jai and Vijay miscalculated the position of the four Kumaras. However, we should know that their mistake was simply made in the attempt to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was their service to guard Vaikuntha from intruders. And thus, they were trying to do their service as nicely as possible. However, they were not able to recognize that although these four children who appeared naked and only 5 years old, they were actually very, very ancient, great, great rishis who had come especially with eager hearts for the darshan of the Lord. The Lord wanted to show that however great we are, if we make offenses against sincere Vaishnavas, we have to fall down. It doesn't matter what we've done, what we're doing, what we plan to do. If we offend great Vaishnavas, it will create tragic situation in our spiritual life. Unless we sincerely repent in a mood of atonement for that offense, that is a sign of humility. Humility decorates a true Vaishnava. We make mistakes. Even great souls sometimes make mistakes. However, if due to false pride, we are not willing to admit it, we are not willing to humble ourselves, to beg forgiveness and admit our faults, then that offense remains like a tremendous mountain of weight on our spiritual lives. However, if we humble ourselves, if we beg forgiveness with a sincere and repentant heart, then we will be forgiven. To understand this principle is very necessary to protect our spiritual lives. sometimes we see devotees who are quite elevated, people who have rendered much service. They fall under the illusion of the material energy. And we wonder, how is it possible? This person has done so much. This person was exhibiting such exalted qualities. It should be a warning to teach us that however big we are is not very much important to Krishna. Krishna does not need our spiritual advancement, but he is pleased by our humility and the spirit of our devotion. And he protects always those devotees who live by that principle. This is most important. Sometimes devotees think, I am so small, and if big people, if they get caught by the influence of Maya, what is my hope? Your hope is to always think yourself very small. If you always think yourself very small and strictly follow the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness and the spirit of servitude, then you will go back to Godhead. There is no doubt. There will be no impediments. However, when we think ourselves to be big, then we are big targets. Maya will easily shoot us down because we are not protected. A small child who feels himself helplessly dependent on the parent will always be running to the parent whenever there is difficulty, because that child feels a sense of dependence. And the parents, with all their strength, by all means will protect their child. However, a child who feels themselves very independent, very self-sufficient, very much a man who can stand on his own two feet, that little child will not come to the parent. That child will try to resolve his situations by his own power. And we know that children do not have much power, although they may think that they do. So in the similar, we are all the children of Krishna. Maya is very powerful. We have no power against the material energy, no one. But if we think that we can make it on our own, if we act in our life independently, however big we may be, however many austerities and verses we may have accumulated in our lives, Maya will push us down to a most humbling position. But if we always feel ourselves like a small child, completely depending on the mercy of Lord Krishna, then nothing can harm us. So Lord Krishna wanted to teach us this important lesson in this particular story, amongst many other lessons. However, because this was an environment where all the devotees were very sincere, what appeared to be a great crisis was actually something very, very auspicious. Although there was cursing going on, and anger and offenses, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally coming before the parties involved to give his most beautiful darshan. In these particular verses, it is describing the exquisite, unlimited beauty of Lord Narayan. Such beauty cannot be described with mortal words, because such beauty is beyond mortal sense perception. With our eyes, in our ears, our nose, our tongue, with our sense of touch, we are attracted to pleasing, beautiful things within this world. However, what is the content of that so-called beauty? First of all, we are seeing with these eyes, which are little balls of flesh, so very limited in their capacity to see. How much can the eyes see? How far can the eyes see? If something is too close, we cannot see it. If something is too far, we cannot see it. If something blocks our vision, we cannot see the object. This is the situation with this little ball of flesh called an eye. So, such a limited instrument, how much can it actually experience? Actually, it is the soul that is experiencing, but it is seeing through this particular instrument. And the objects of this world also, they are all just a combination of various atomic and molecular particles moving around. They're somehow or other just put together in such a way that they appear to look a certain way. But what appears to be is not actually what it is. If you have a microscope, according to the particular way you adjust the lens, you will see the same thing completely differently. If you adjust the lens very close up, you'll just see all kinds of cellular components moving around. You won't see a beautiful form. If you take it more far away, you will just see something very, very small crawling around like an insect. So beauty is very relative within this world. However, because the soul wants to see the beauty of Krishna, it is its very nature. It's longing to experience that ecstasy. However, because we have forgotten Krishna, we are trying to find that beauty somewhere else. And the mind is just scanning the entire material creation according to our capacity to perceive through our senses, to somehow or other just focus that desire for ecstasy somewhere where we can find something. And when we find something that gives some infinitesimal resemblance to Krishna, how endlessly deep we fall into the ocean of attachment. And what is that object? The soul within that person that we may be attracted to is just one tiny little infinitesimal spark of Krishna. And we're not even seeing that soul. We're just seeing the external material elements of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. We're not even seeing the mind, intelligence, and ego. Just earth, water, fire, air, and ether. This is what our senses can perceive. However, because Krishna is in the background, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. He is controlling material nature. Even those material elements, we become mad after them. What is that madness? It is the soul's eternal longing to see the beauty of Krishna, to hear the sound of Krishna, to smell the fragrance of Krishna, to experience the ecstatic form of Krishna with all of its opulences. We're desperate. We have to find it. The soul simply has to be with Krishna. It has no existence apart from Krishna. Its nature is to surrender to Krishna with pure love. That is our constitutional position. And in the spiritual world, everything, everywhere, and everyone is simply mad for Krishna. And in the material world, that the same souls that are mad for Krishna have forgotten Krishna. But they can't live without that ecstasy of being united with Krishna. So therefore, they're trying to find that ecstasy of Krishna's transcendental beauty somewhere, somehow, by any means. And thus we have the hard struggle for existence. Everyone is simply mad for sense gratification. Sense gratification means to love Krishna, because the soul has transcendental senses. They are all completely satisfied when we water the root of the tree, Krishna. When the root of the tree is satisfied, we become completely nourished. Ananda mayo bhyashat. Everyone is seeking pleasure because we are all seeking Krishna. That's all. This is the most important science of life. People are decorating themselves in so many wonderful ways and enjoying seeing others' decorations. However, a devotee, as we become purified, we become completely satisfied just seeing Krishna decorated nicely. Krishna has so mercifully appeared in the form of the deity, so that we can see his beautiful ornaments, and we lose all desire for ornaments for ourselves. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they gave up the most royal dress. No one wears the kind of dress that they used to wear today. When they were living in Ramakeli, they were given the wardrobes, the living palaces of kings. But they gave it all up to live in Vrindavan, on the bank of Jamuna, under various trees. And what did they wear? Only kopin, loincloth. That loincloth was not even a new, fresh loincloth. There was no Loi Bazaar in those days, where you can get nice new cloth and have it personally stitched into a coping. They would just find the discarded cloth of Brijvasis. And Brijvasis are not wealthy people. They are very simple people. In those days, Vrindavan was a forest. The people lived so simple. Yet those poor people, what was unsuitable for them, they would throw away. And Rupa Sanatana Goswami, Prime Minister of the entire state of Bengal, they would pick up those cloths and they would tear it to make the size of a little kopan. And that's all that they would wear. Obviously, they were not wearing any jewels. However, for Radha Madan Mohan, for Radha Govinda Dev, how wonderfully they worship them. At first, Sanatana Goswami was worshiping them under a tree. But when that one very wealthy merchant asked, "How can I serve you?" he said, "I'm living under a tree, but Madan Mohan should not live under a tree. Build him a nice, beautiful temple." And they brought so many beautiful jewels and so many wonderful garments for the deities. And Rupa and Sanatan took nothing for themselves. They remained under trees wearing the loincloths. But how wonderfully, wonderfully they were finding the joy of seeing the service increasing for their beloved lords. And they were completely satisfied to see Krishna. How is that possible? Srinivasacharya explains, although they were eating nothing, they were practically not sleeping, they were dressed in such rags, they were always immersed in the ecstatic love of the gopis. They were the happiest of the happy. This does not make any sense by material logic. People of this world think, if I do not have the basic necessities, how will I be happy? But no one is satisfied with basic necessities. Everyone wants more and more and more. And the more you have, the more agitated you become. It is a fact. It is the law of nature. The less you need, the more peaceful you can be. The more you try to have, the more agitated and anxiety-ridden you become. Unless it's used for Krishna service. Because the senses and mind can never be satisfied by any amount of material acquirement or gratification. Why is that? Because it is not the senses that are enjoying. It is the soul. It is the soul that is enjoying and suffering. The senses are simply the means by which the soul is trying to enjoy. And similarly, the mind. The soul is the living force. And somehow, by the grace of Krishna, we are given this ego, this intelligence, mind, and the five elements which create or constitute the five senses. We are trying to enjoy through them. But why is it we want to enjoy so much? To come again to our original hypothesis, it is because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas, because we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive. If Krishna was only limitedly attractive, we could actually find some means to be happy in this material world. Because if Krishna's attraction was limited, then we could find satisfaction with something limited. Then there would be some hope of finding happiness in this world where everything is limited. But by Krishna's causeless will, he's unlimited in his beauty, in his knowledge, his strength, his wealth, his renunciation, his fame. Because he's unlimited in his opulences, he's all attractive. And because of his unlimited opulence, he has created a scenario where it is totally impossible for anyone to ever find real happiness in this material world. So from one point of view, we can explain like this. The reason why everyone's suffering in this world is because Krishna is so beautiful. Huh? Are you able to follow this line of logic? The reason no one can be satisfied in this material world is because Krishna's attractive qualities are unlimited. So on one hand, if you dive into the ocean of bhakti and experience Krishna, then there's unlimited ecstasy. But on the other hand, we experience something beautiful, something wonderful, and we become mesmerized by that thing. Why? Because we're actually experiencing one particle of a perverted reflection of a spark of Krishna's beauty. That makes us completely paralyzed with attraction. However, the soul wants something more. So very soon, it's just very much disturbed because this thing that was the object of so much happiness for me is now not giving me the happiness I expect. It's getting old, or it's not behaving properly. Marriage is a situation where people try to find happiness. However, all married people, whoever they are, from all countries, from all castes, from all species, we have seen that the illusion that, this is what will make me happy, this is the person. Or I was reading on one of the hoardings on the way to Juhu, Radharas Bihari temple. Between Radha Gopinath and Radharas Bihari, there's so many diversions to attract your mind. It said, there was a question, are marriages really made in heaven? Hare Krishna. They don't understand the philosophy. They're arguing whether marriage is made in heaven or not. According to our philosophy, abhrama bhuvana loka punaravartanojana mamu pechita kontiya punarjanmana vidyati, whether they're made in heaven or not, they're sources of misery. From the highest heavenly planet down to the lowest planet, it's all miserable situation. But actually, this desire of the soul to be united with Krishna is so great that after some time, marriage becomes quite frustrating. The person who we're living with, who at one time was infatuating our mind, offering promises of everlasting bliss, is now intolerable to even be with. The words that at one time were sweet nectar to my heart are like thorns in my mind. Everything just starts falling apart. And then somehow or other, we have to, on the basis of obligation, security, we try to weather through it for the rest of our lives until death relieves us of the whole situation. But this is the situation with all relationships in this world. Why? Because the soul is looking for rasa. Even if we love someone, how much are they able to reciprocate and give us love that satisfies us? We may want to please someone so much, but we're not able to do it. Or even if the person's trying to tolerate us, somehow or other we know that it's not really what it's supposed to be. But Krishna, not only is he all attractive in attracting all of our sentiments
for unlimited ecstatic love, but he also reciprocates by giving in return his unlimited love. Ras means an exchange. Krishna attracts every drop, every morsel of desire within our heart for ecstasy. Therefore, he is Rasaraj, Ras Bihari. And he also gives us unlimited love from his own heart. This is Ras. This is the perfection of all happiness. Krishna's drawing every bit of our desire for ecstatic love from our heart, and he's giving us all the ecstatic love from his heart. Here we see the beautiful description of Lord Krishna. Is anyone in this world like this? And even if, for some time, they try to imitate to be like this, how long will it last? Thus, real knowledge means to understand that everyone is looking for happiness because everyone is looking for Krishna. Because Krishna is unlimited, we can never be satisfied with anything limited. So the reason why we suffer so much in this world is because Krishna is so beautiful. And we have somehow or other turned our lives away from him. But Krishna is so kind. He comes to this world and manifests his transcendental pastimes just to attract our hearts back to him. And because Krishna is absolute, just by hearing about him, just by chanting his holy names, we will gradually be free from all the sources of misery which come in the forms of material pleasures in this world. And again, we become attracted to Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunoi Sravanadi Surichiti Kori Yehudoi. The love of Krishna is within the heart of every living being. By hearing his glories, by associating with his devotees, by chanting his name, that love gradually awakens. But it is not cheap. It is a lifetime process. One must persevere with great determination and patience to continue to bathe our mind with Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Seva, in Vaishnava satsang. It is explained here that in Vaikuntha, actually the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. The devotees of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets want to see the Lord as most beautiful. I'll read this again. This is a very wonderful explanation Srila Prabhupada is giving. The devotees of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets want to see the Lord as the most beautiful. But the devotees in Gokul or Krishna Loka want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. The adjustment is that the Lord, being Bhaktivatsal, or one who wants to please his devotees, assumes such features so that devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods may be pleased. In Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, his beauty is so great that it surpasses even the beauty of Lakshmi Devi. And the devotees, they see the beauty of Lord Narayan to be something even greater than the beauty of Lakshmi. However, the devotees in Gokul, they want to see Sri Radharani as even more beautiful than Krishna. Who would like to explain why? Does anyone have any? Very can explain why it is that in Vaikuntha people want to see Lord Narayan's beauty excel Lakshmi, but in Vrindavan the devotees want to see Sri Radharani's beauty excel Krishna's.
She's very dear to Krishna, so they want her to be so beautiful that Krishna can be pleased.
That is why your name is Radha Gopinath. Anyone else like to speak something?
In Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan is the supreme, but actually in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is the supreme. Vrindavaneshwari, she is supreme, and Krishna is...
Why is it like this?
He is conquered by the love of Srimati Radharani.
Narayan is not conquered?
I am conquered now.
That is why his name is Krishnananda. Someone else? Yes?
If Krishna is happy by Radharani's beauty, then the devotees are happy. And if the devotees are happy, then Krishna is happy. And then the devotees are happy and so on. So it's a continuous cycle of happiness between the devotees and Lord Krishna.
Hariva, that is why your name is Krishna. Yes?
Golok Vrindavan is higher than Vaikuntha. So Krishna wants to show relatively also what is the highest principle, even in comparison to Vaikuntha, which is also high, but something still higher. And Krishna wants to show the highest thing actually is devotional service. And Srimati Radharani is a personification of that. So he's allowing Radharani, who is his perfect devotee, to be actually higher than him and get attracted to her. So that is the principle which is being involved in this.
Yes. But his name is Dwarkadish. Everyone spoke very nicely. Vaikuntha, as to summarize what all of the exalted Vaishnavas have explained, Vaikuntha is the spiritual world where Krishna, in his form of Narayan, is worshipped with pure unmotivated love, but in a mood of awe and reverence. Krishna is seen as the greatest king, the Lord of Lords. And thus Lakshmi is seen as his most intimate, confidential pleasure potency, serving as the object of all affection for that Lord of Lords, the King of Kings of the spiritual world. That awe and reverence, where we love the Lord primarily because of his supreme position as the master and controller of everyone. In Vrindavan, Krishna is worshipped in Raga Bhakti. Raga Bhakti means spontaneous love. No consideration whether Krishna is the Lord of Lords or not. In Vrindavan, everyone thinks Krishna is simply a cowherd boy, but the most beautiful, wonderful cowherd boy. And the love there is spontaneous. In Vaikuntha, the primary ras is dasya ras, where everyone is the obedient servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where in Vrindavan, the pure unalloyed state of sakya ras, vatsalya ras, and madhurya ras are present. Where we can be a friend of Krishna. And in that friendship, we completely feel ourselves equal to him in position. There's no hierarchy. In Vaikuntha, even you can have some friendly relationship with Narayan. Even you may have some vatsalya or some like that, but still, you always recognizing that he is the supreme and I am the eternal servant. I am subordinate. I am infinitesimal. He is great. Whereas in Vrindavan, in the Sakya Ras, the friends completely consider, they know that Krishna is greater, but only in the sense that greatness is not in his position. It is not a hierarchical greatness. It is simply a greatness in the power he has to attract us with the simple sweetness of his love. And similarly, the parents of Krishna in Gokul, they are actually thinking themselves in a higher position than Krishna. According to the hierarchy of society, a parent is in a higher position than a child. So their love is completely spontaneous and pure. And of course, in the Madhurya Ras of conjugal love, the gopis, their love for Krishna is with no consideration whatsoever that he is the Supreme Absolute Truth. They simply love him because he is the most intimate object of their affection. And he is filling their hearts, his glance fills their hearts with so much love. Thus, in the land of Raga Bhakti, Vrindavan, the primary feature is the ras of pure, unalloyed love. Whereas in Vaikuntha, the primary feature is the super excellent, all-powerful Lord who attracts our love. So in Vrindavan, Krishna assumes this position whereby his own yogamaya potency, he covers his supreme position from his devotees so that they can have more free, ecstatic, intimate love with him. Therefore, in Vrindavan, love is supreme. In Vaikuntha, the object of love is supreme. And Srimati Radharani is the personification of all love. Sri Radharani is the ultimate exhibition of the Lord's own ecstasy in the form of his own Ladini Shakti. So therefore, in Vrindavan, everyone is conquering Krishna by their love. And everyone is conquered by Krishna by his love. And Srimati Radharani is giving the ultimate pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, for the pleasure of Krishna, the Vrijavasis want to see Srimati Radharani's love even greater than his. And for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, everyone wants to see how she is able to completely conquer Krishna by her ecstatic devotion. And it is this realization of the highest realm of love in the spiritual world that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give to the world. In Gokul, or Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's thinking, what is it about me that attracts Srimati Radharani so much? What is it about me that gives her so much happiness that's even more than my own? What is the nature of her love? Krishna's saying, even I cannot fathom the glories of her love. Therefore, I will assume the form, or I will assume within my form, the loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna combined with Srimati Radharani to taste the ecstasy of Radharani's love because he wanted to search out what is the nature of Sri Radharani's love for him. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, out of his causeless mercy, he assumed this form at the time when the Yuga Avatar in the age of Kali was to appear. Generally, the Yuga Avatars are expansions of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu to perform a particular purpose of teaching the world and the recommended process of religion for that age. But Lord Chaitanya, he appeared and the Yuga Avatar that was meant to appear at that time merged into himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was only 500 years ago Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to taste the sweetness of the unlimited love of Srimati Radharani, which completely conquers him eternally. And he has come to give all living beings the opportunity to enter into that consciousness of love of Vrindavan, to become the servant of the servant of the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he's giving that gift to everyone and anyone through the transcendental process of the chanting of the holy names. This is a very high subject. I am not very expert, but like a little bird trying to fly in the sky, how high can we go? But Still, we have to try our best to explain. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes.
You mentioned so nicely that in Vaikuntha, the object of love is supreme, whereas in Vrindavan, love is supreme. So is there a chance for the soul in Vaikuntha planets to graduate to Krishna Loka?
It's not so bad. But Gopa Kumar, for him it was so bad. Gopa Kumar was a cowherd boy from Govardhan. He experienced the pleasures of all the upper planets of this material world. Satya Loka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka. He experienced the Brahma Jyoti. He even went to Vaikuntha. And for those whose eternal soul has natural relationship with the Lord of Vaikuntha, then they are completely satisfied. However, for that soul who has a natural relationship with the Lord of Vrindavan, Vrindavanath, he will be very happy in Vaikuntha, but at a certain point he will naturally want to express that spontaneous love. And when that desire awakens within the heart in Vaikuntha, then you can be promoted to Goloka. Vaikuntha is the spiritual world where all desires are fulfilled. If you desire Krishna, then you can go to Krishna Loka. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whoever you are, he's giving you Krishna. Even some of his devotees, Murari Gupta was actually Hanuman. And his Leela is with Lord Sri Ramchandra, who lives in Ayodhya Dham, which is even above the Vaikuntha planets of Narayan. However, he gave him the sweet nectar of the love of Vrindavan. He gave him the opportunity to experience something even beyond. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving everyone the opportunity to experience the love of Vrajvasis. So that is our good fortune. By Srila Prabhupada's kind mercy, he is giving us this connection to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this is a very high subject. We should not become so proud that I am better than others because I have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's connection. We should follow the four regulative principles. We should perform our sadhana of chanting our 16 rounds attentively. We should become very humble, give up all our egoistic propensities. We should genuinely develop a real attitude to serve. Then we can begin to enter into the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes devotees, they think, because I have such a big philosophy, I'm better than others. But the realization of the philosophy comes through our service attitude, through our humility, through our adherence to the principles. Otherwise, we are like the bees trying to taste honey from the outside of the bottle. Does that answer your question? Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.